The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Aho, Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. It's caught. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike Sims.
Assuming we're off and running on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. A lot to get to. We talked about the Carson Wentz situation yesterday. A lot of breaking developments. George, players missing practice, notably Julio Jones in Tennessee. But right here in New York, Kenny Galladay, the $72 million kid that the Giants signed in the offseason, four-year deal, limps out of practice. How big of a loss to the Giants' offense is this? And when you look at their FanDuel total right now, at under and over 7 at minus 130, can they get there without Galladay in the lineup?
Well, he's got a possible hamstring injury. So, not good. Those things can linger a while here. Now, we don't know. Is it just a little sore or, a slight injury here? Did he tear it in half? You don't know what this is here. Odds are it's somewhere in between there. I'm not worried yet, but anytime you have a new player with a new team, yeah, it's concerning because he's going to miss some time now. And with a wide receiver, that's chemistry with the quarterback. You hope they work together during the offseason to sort of build that chemistry up. Like I said, I generally don't worry about, ankle sprain, minor injuries, because with the veterans, they're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. What? You hurt? Take a day off. Go away.
Right.
But this, with a hamstring, something like this, a little bit more concerning to me because you don't know the degree of this injury as of yet.
Yeah, totally agree. Now, I guess the biggest thing is this, you know, is it a 1 or 2 day type of situation? Does it linger just like we talked about in terms of Devontae Smith in Philadelphia? Will he be, you know, 100% by game number one? It's a different injury, right? You know, it looked like it was a hamstring injury. Devontae Smith was a sprained MCL, so that's the difference. But still, you know, you brought Galladay in to be the number one player of that offense. He is the go-to threat. You have Evan Engram at the tight end position. You do have Sterling Shepard. You have complementary pieces like Slayton. You know, Saquon Barkley still not 100%, hasn't been practicing all out. And Daniel Jones, right? The X factor as well. I mean, missed time last year. He really needs to step up. You bring these pieces around him to really spearhead this offense to challenge some of the better teams like the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. And without Galladay in this lineup, especially for their first preseason game, will he be there? I think that's very important in terms of the success for the New York Giants. And then what you've seen transpire after that was, I don't know if you read the reports, but there was an all-out brawl on the practice field today. Daniel Jones was at the bottom of that. I heard Joe Judge was completely irate. I mean, this is a situation we're going to have to monitor in year number two here.
Yeah, some coaches don't mind the brawls, and they do seem to happen a lot, maybe once or twice per camp, per team, but you don't want your quarterback at the bottom of a brawl. That can't happen. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong. You get stepped on, obviously, people could fall on him. So many things could go wrong there. So, yeah, I'd be a little upset if I was a judge as well here. I mean, you hope everything worked out fine. You know, it is what it is here. It's kind of a little early for the brawls to happen. We're only a week at the camp here. Usually this is more of a 2-3 week that you just I'm tired of hitting the same guy over and over and over again, and somebody ticks off somebody else, and away we go. So if I was a coach, I don't want this at all. Too much of a chance for injury. I don't need this garbage. Hopefully it all works out for the Giants.
Yeah, and then we saw that last year, right? They bought in, the players that bought into the new philosophy. He wanted a blue-collar work ethic right here in the tri-state area. And that's exactly what they did, George. In each and every ballgame, you know, not just from the spread perspective, but in terms of actually being in that ballgame in the fourth quarter, the Giants were there every step of the way. They challenged Tom Brady, lost that matchup by 2 points. They went toe-to-toe earlier in the year with Big Ben Roethlisberger, played some of the teams very tough, knocked off Washington on the road. So this is a battle-tested team. And if you're trying to win a division title, you want to have that continuity, but you also want to have your star players. So we'll see how that transpires in New York the rest of the week of practice. The other big development was Julio Jones. Mike Vrabel came out and said it's no big deal. He missed practice today, but he is coming off an injury. He was another player that you bring into camp to really benefit Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. You don't want to rely solely on the rushing game. A.J. Brown was happy. But if Julio Jones is nicked up early and often, that can really derail their title hopes, especially when you see the other side of the ball in terms of Indianapolis dealing with the Carson Wentz situation. This team needs to start hot in 2021.
Julio Jones banged up? You're kidding. This never happens. Never happens. No, I'm not really worried about this. He'll be fine.
You think he'll be fine? Okay. We'll see. I mean, I don't know, George. I think it's a situation that we definitely have to monitor overall. I mean, when you look at their total in terms of FanDuel for the Tennessee Titans, they now are the front runners here. Over 9 at minus 150 to the...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz breaking down all the training camp talk this week. Want to still talk about Julio Jones and the Tennessee Titans, George? When we talk about this offense right now, in terms of their dual threat capability, we understand the rushing attack with Derrick Henry. But if A.J. Brown is the only go-to wide receiver for that offense, can they survive and, more importantly, win a division title that way?
Division title, maybe, because the division's not all that great, right? Jacksonville's not ready to compete yet. Houston's a complete disaster. And we don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. Best case scenario is maybe he could be ready for week one. You know, but that's best case scenario. I think most of us figure he's out at least September. We'll take it from there. And by then, it may be too late. That schedule for Indianapolis to open up the season is brutal. So, I mean, even a good quarterback, you'd be going 2-3, 1-4. More or less what they're going to have going there. So Tennessee needs to take advantage early and put Indianapolis in the hot seat here. Yeah, you know, put them behind the eight ball. Where if they get up to a good start, they're playing catch-up all season long. I have Tennessee winning this division anyway. You know, like I said, I can't say this enough. I don't think they're as good as the, you know, Buffalo, Kansas City. They're not with those guys. They're not there. But they're building there, and this is a good overall team with no obvious weakness other than the inability last season to get to the quarterback. Yeah, they need to be a pressure
that quarterback.
That was a huge
one, though, George. That was a huge Achilles heel for that defense. Their defense needs to be much more improved if they are going to play those type of teams. Now, you know, they went toe-to-toe with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, mostly because Lamar Jackson couldn't extend that defense vertically, right? It was on the ground. He breaks the 50-yard run, makes some plays in terms of the fourth quarter, but for the most part, they were within striking distance. I don't know if you put Tennessee up against a team like Cleveland, let's just say. I don't know if they match up well in that regard, because let's go back to that game last year. I mean, Baker Mayfield attacked that defense for 5 total touchdowns over the top. And if we're relying now on Ryan Tannehill, if Julio Jones is, let's say, nicked up or not 100%, and they can double-team A.J. Brown, we're going to see the same type of ball game and result that we saw last year. I mean, what's going to be the difference? How do they match up? Like, you mentioned Buffalo or Kansas City. Let's take a team like Cleveland. Do you feel right here, right now, they match up with the Browns? Because I don't, entering 2021.
Well, I don't care what happened last year. That really means very little to me. Teams are different, so that doesn't really mean all that much to me. Do I think they're with there with Cleveland? No, I'd probably put Cleveland as number 3. But Tennessee's not that far behind either. And they did make some moves to try and get be able to get to the quarterback. Now I need those moves to pay off there. You know, I think Cleveland's better also than last season. So maybe it doesn't matter all that much as far as that's going on here. But they don't have to worry about Cleveland yet. That's a playoff problem. What their benefit is, they play Indianapolis, division rival, but I think they're by far their main division rival to win that division, 2 times in the first 8 weeks. We don't know if Carson will be there for either one of those. That might be cakewalks for them to win both games there. I think Carson will be back for at least the second game, but the first game is week 3. I don't know if Carson plays that. They have a tough Seattle game in week 2 at Seattle, but other than that, they play the Jets opening up, Jacksonville. They do get Buffalo there and Kansas City back-to-back. That's brutal. Buffalo, Kansas City, Indianapolis, Chargers back-to-back. Or is that the Rams? I'm going to figure out those logos. So they have a little tough stretch there in the middle of the season, but the schedule breaks out nicely for them. And I said, I'd be surprised, shocked, if Tennessee doesn't win this division unless there's an injury here. And I probably need more than an injury to Julio Jones to worry about. He's always going to be on the injury report. He's always going to be questionable. You're going to have to deal with it. He won't play 17 games. What's your over-under for Julio Jones playing? 12.5?
12.
12.5.
Yeah.
You do a straight, I'll give you 12.5. I'll give you
the
hook.
At this point in his career, I think 12 is a legitimate number for him. You know, I'll say this. You're going to need him. Of those 12 games, they better be some playoff games. Because I don't know if this team could advance just solely on Derrick Henry. I know you're in love with Tannehill. I knew he threw for 33 touchdowns last year. I know you love him. But here's the thing. Looking at his number this year, in terms of his prop bet, 4,150.5 at -112. Do you think he gets to that number? You think he gets to that number solely with A.J. Brown in that lineup, or he needs Julio for those 12 games to eclipse 41-51?
Well, once again, I don't love Tannehill, by the way. I think he's a decent quarterback. I think he's better than what he was in Miami. He grew, figured it out, whatever you want to better, different offense, more tailored to him, whatever quote you want to use there is what he's done in his career with Tennessee. Do I think he gets there without Julio, or that he needs Julio to play 12? Yeah, you probably need Julio to play 12. I mean, there's a reason they brought him in. This is a nothing injury right now to Julio. This is what he's going to have. This is not supposed to keep him out any kind of time here. What we're worried about with Julio is that he always seems to have these injuries. Always.
Right.
So anyway, last year he played 16 games, got 3,800. So by that pace, he wouldn't get it. Right? You had another game on there. He doesn't have 300 yards a game, so he wouldn't reach that mark here. So he needs to do better than he did last year, which is possible. And he's got Julio Jones, so maybe even probable now. I think what your biggest worry here is that Julio Jones, you know, forget the 12, that doesn't play 6. So it's an injury. And now everything you were just saying comes true. You know, Brown's getting double teamed. Teams aren't, or the safety's coming down here to take out Derrick Henry. You know, the tight end isn't as good as it was. Yeah, that's an issue, but we can point this out with every team. Maybe right. It's more likely because it's Julio Jones is always hurt here, but we can always point this out with teams. Well, if we take this guy away, they're going to struggle. That's true with everybody, including Mahomes, if we take away Tyreek Hill or Kelsey.
Right. We'll talk about their prop bets. You look at A.J. Brown this year in terms of his totals, in terms of receiving yards, 1,200.5 at minus 112 on FanDuel. And you look at Julio Jones that we just talked about. If he only plays 12 games, I think this is a high total for him. 1,025.5, George, at minus 112. I'm going to go under for Julio Jones, and I might even go under on A.J. Brown. I mean, I know he's a dynamic threat. I know he's, you know, one of the best, more complete wide receivers in terms of the AFC, but if teams are going to stack the box and they're going to force Tannehill to beat them over the top, we know what Derrick Henry is. He's a battering ram, but expecting him to just get 2,000 yards every season is unrealistic. At some point, they're going to run into a defensive front that's going to contain him, especially, you know, if they go up against Buffalo, if they go up against some of the better defenses in the AFC, Baltimore. I think that, you know, 2,000 yards, I mean, I could see Derrick Henry maybe this year in the area of 1,700, 1,800 realistic, but then that means that those other players have to step up. So I'm going to go under A.J. Brown 1,200, and I'm going under Julio at 1,025. I don't know if this offense is as dynamic or as consistent as it was in 2020.
Yeah, I don't think I would have called it a dynamic offense. Not quite well with
But they could break out at times, right? There were times where they were in a role there for a bunch of overs. You go to their games, every game over the second part of the season was basically an over, whether their defense allowed it or they were just dominating in the early part of the game.
Well, they're when everyone's healthy on this team, there's now an interesting conundrum for defenses, right? Because what are you going to do? You gonna play the safeties over the top here to make sure Brown and Jones can't go by you, or do you play with safeties in the box to make sure Derrick Henry's not beating the crap out of you? Yeah, so it's an interesting thing here. I would find it. I'd like to know what Bill Belichick would do. What's Bill known for? He wants to take away the team's best opposing weapon. I wonder what he would think is the best weapon here. Would he want to? Okay, listen, I'm gonna stop Henry. I'm not gonna let him beat us up over 15 rounds. Yeah, or is he going to go, listen, I'm going to take away the deep pass here. Make Henry, make him go by, beat us by the knife, not by the gun. That sort of thing. I don't want any quick strikes here. So I think that's why they brought Jones along, because you can't do both now. You know, you can't, if you're going to put the safety in the box, that means either Brown or Jones is going to be single. All right, if you're going to double both, then Brown is going to run in a 6-7 man box, and he's going to have Henry's going to run in a 6-7 man box and have a field day. So it's an interesting conundrum now that defense is going to have here. This is why I like this team so much on offense, because you almost have to make that safety play in the box, or as Henry's just going, he's just going to wear you down as the game goes on here, and no one's going to want to tackle that man in the fourth quarter.
No, agreed. I mean, when you're talking about a 2,000-yard rusher in Derrick Henry, and you look at his total this year, George, low, 1,539.5. When we come back, we'll be talking about the other teams like the Colts and Jets. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Can continuing the conversation about the NFL training camps, just broke down the Tennessee Titans. Before we talk about their counterpart, the Indianapolis Colts, George, we talked about Derrick Henry. I think it's a light number in terms of FanDuel. 2,027 rushing yards last year. You add a 17th game, and now they set a total at 1,539 and a half. I mean, 1,700, I said 1,800 is realistic. What do you think about that number for Derrick Henry this season?
Well, he surpassed it in back-to-back seasons, right? 1,540.
Why so low?
It's not low, though. That's still a damn good season. That's 91 yards a game. That's what they're putting at, 91 yards a game. So it's not low, but it does seem to be low because I think both of us expect Henry to surpass that, 2,000 yards last season in a 16-game season. And by the way, the 1,540 and 19, that came in a 15-game season. Now, I'll play devil's advocate here, a scenario where it could, maybe it doesn't happen besides one where he gets injured. And that would be, you know, this is 17 teams going to make the playoffs, 7 teams each in both conferences, which means only one team gets a bye. I could see a scenario where he doesn't play week 17. I think they might win this division pretty easy, especially if Carson Wentz is out for a long time, where they have nothing to play for. Maybe even week 16 or week 17 and week 18,
right,
the last 2 games of the season. So that would be one scenario where I might worry because they just don't need him. You know, they're going to rest him. So I might worry there, but I'll take the over here.
Okay, so I'll play devil's advocate back to that and say with the 17th game of the year, right, there's going to be a number of different contracts with bonuses, contract money on the line. And what's the most rushing yards ever in a season? If he's close to breaking that, whether Tennessee's in the title hunt or not, whether they have a first-round bye or not, Derrick Henry's playing that 17th game. No doubt. I mean, if he's well over 2,000 yards, let's say he's at, you know, 1980 heading into the 17th game of the season, he's going to play that game. He will definitely play that game. Or if he's well over 2,000, let's say he's at 2,050, they have a first-round bye, and he has the opportunity to tack on 2,300 for the year, I think he'll do it. I mean, the amount of money that can be tied into the contracts for some of these players, whether it be a record or, you know, under over a certain level, they get maybe X amount of dollars. That's another attribute to consider and another factor that you have to keep in mind when you're playing these prop bets.
Yeah, I like it in there. I do. No, maybe not so much for the bonus money. So if I'm the head coach, I'm still giving you a day off, a record. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of records that are going to fall now with this extra game. You're going to see it's all over, not just for rushing, but any kind of record, seasonal record could go here. Now, as far as who holds the record right now, it is Eric Dickerson at 2105, I believe.
Okay.
He did this in 1984, then Peterson 2097, Jamal Lewis 2066, so on and so on. You know, so Derrick Henry only missed it by about, what, 80 yards last
90
year?
95 yards last year?
78 yards,
okay.
I missed it by.
There you go.
Yo, I know you were promised there'd be no math today. I'm sorry about that. So,
that's all right. I guessed. I you know, rounded up.
So, I think he's got a shot. I think you bring up a great point. You know, let's just say, just for giggles here, if he's at, you know, 2027 going into week 7 of week 18, and I don't care if the game's meaningless, he's going to want to play to go for the record. I agree. I think you're right. So, and that will come into play here. So I might even like your devil's advocate more than mine.
But I'm still shocked at that 1,539. Now, Dalvin Cook had 1,399, and he was a 1,500-yard rusher last year at 1,557. So, I mean, he's my pick to steal the MVP at 75-1. But when you just look at both of those players, I think both of those players realistically have a legitimate chance to surpass 2,000 yards this coming season. We'll see if they could both do it with their respective teams. Let's talk about Nick Foles. You know, all the talk was, will Nick Foles join Carson Wentz, join Jacob Eason? He's a third stringer right now. He says he wants to continue to dice up the scout team until he's called upon, but he sort of gave that indication to Frank Reich that Frank knows my skill set, Frank knows my strengths, and he's one of the best coaches that I've ever had. Sort of lobbying, isn't it? Maybe to get to the Colts and be the starter week 1?
Sort of. What part of that wasn't lobbying? He pretty much came out and said, Frank, let's go. All right. Fourth round pick, should do it here, buddy. Let's go. Get me on the team here. He's the best coach I've ever had. One of the best I've ever played with. He knows how to tail the offense around me. These are all things he said yesterday. You know, so yeah, he was. Who blames him? You think he wants to be on the third string? You know, he mentioned the scout team. I mean, no, of course he wants to go for a starter again. That being said, while it makes some sense, there are two things against it. And I don't even think this is devil's advocate. I think this is what why they're not going to do this. One, do you want to do this to Carson Wentz again? The same guy again? You know, I think that's one thing against it. And two, I think right now Frank Reich truly believes, you know, he may only be out 5 weeks. He may be back week one, week two. Why am I trading for anybody for? We can get by week one, week two, even if we lose the game. Carson Wentz is back. I think Reich truly believes in Wentz. You know, more than you and I do, that he'll be fine once he's back in there. He was having a good camp, a good summer.
Can you take that risk? I mean, Frank Reich's not a doctor. He's not a doctor. He's going off of, you know, his ability in terms of the player. Right. We don't know about the body. The body works differently and acts differently for each player. He can have the surgery. One guy can come back in 5 weeks, 6 weeks. The other guy might take 4 months to heal.
And that's a valid point. That's a valid point, but Frank has to go, by, I guess, by what his gut is telling him, what the GM wants, what Ballard wants to do with at GM. You know, do they want to take? There is a roll of the dice here, yeah. If they don't acquire him, there is a roll of the dice. But let's also face this. Right now, I said a fourth rounder for Foles, but I guarantee you Chicago's asking for a third rounder because they feel they have leverage. Right,
but if so you're the price is jacked up. Why wouldn't you pull the trigger on that? Now I believe in Jacob Eason, but if you don't believe in Jacob Eason and you need a quarterback. Third, fourth round, big deal. Give him the third rounder. What's the big deal at that point? The question that I have is, and I disagree in terms of when you say, can we do that to Carson Wentz? Absolutely. Yeah, it's win now. You brought Carson Wentz in to take this team higher and further than where Phillip Rivers got you last year. If he's not ready, it's next man up. You need to do better than you did last year. And so I'm not worried about Carson Wentz's feelings. I'm not worried if he throws it in after this and he completely never plays another game. He was brought in to play. He got hurt. It's a business. We move on from that. I mean, there's no affiliation with the Indianapolis Colts and Carson Wentz outside the money. It's not like he's been there 4 years in the facility. He understands the teammates. The teammates love him. He's a one-year wonder right now. He's basically there less than a year. And on top of it, didn't he ask Michael Pittman for his jersey number? That's another thing, another knock on Carson Wentz. He wanted to take the second-year pro's jersey number because he's the veteran. I didn't like that.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, but that happens all the time with marquee quarterbacks. Carson Wentz is not a marquee quarterback. He's not entitled to that number. He hasn't earned it.
He asked him for it. He didn't demand it. He said, give it to me, I'm going home, take my ball and leave. And he asked, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going there. I know you hate Wentz, but that's nuts. I'm not going to nail him for that. Now, when I say I worry about his, I don't know if his feelings is the right thing here. What I would worry about, if I'm right, is you bring along Foles. First of all, Foles is not very good. He's only played well at Philadelphia. Other than his career, he's been terrible at Kansas City, terrible at Chicago, terrible, can't even remember the other team he was with. He's been terrible. He's not a good quarterback, so he's not going to bring you anywhere. Unless you think another magical run's coming here. But I think he's a guy you can survive with, you know, as a good backup. What I would worry about Wentz is, you know, now you say, oh, you don't care if he doesn't play another game. That's fine. But what if he, you know, and he's, oh, this is getting, you know, he seems to be a head case to me. And that's where I would worry about this. Plus, listen, you're not just throwing around third and fourth round picks here. Like, you don't care. You already don't have at least a second. Maybe a first next year, depending on how many percentage of snaps that Wentz plays here. So I'm not willing to just give away that pick like it's nothing. You know, that's why there's no way I'd be doing this trade right now. Are you listening to find out, okay, what the doctors say? Assuming that Reich is telling us the truth, and I understand that's kind of crazy. When does a coach lie? When his lips move? He said they have to wait 2 weeks and they'll have a better idea. I'm waiting for 2 weeks. If you're going to acquire Foles, he knows your offense anyway. So 2 weeks, and also the leverage should go down a little bit in 2 weeks. So I'm going to wait 2 weeks, see what the doctors say. He's healing fine. He's going to be ready for week one, week two, whatever it is. You give Eason a shot, which is not the worst thing. My biggest worry, though, is you look at that schedule. Have you seen that schedule for them? I don't know if it matters who the quarterback is. whether it's Wentz, Foles, Philip Rivers, you can bring Peyton Manning out of retirement. And I don't know if it matters here. They're pretty much playing the who's who of the NFL in the first couple of weeks here.
Right.
I mean, Seattle, L.A., Tennessee, Miami, Baltimore. That's rough. And three of those games are on the road. Three in a row on the road here. It may not matter until you get a break when you get Houston in week six and you get San Fran, Tennessee back-to-back. Yeah, good luck to you.
Well, think about this. Nick Foles is a much better quarterback than Andy Dalton. The fact that he's relegated to number three, I think the starter in Chicago should be Justin Fields. But you're telling me that Andy Same Dalton's here. A better quarterback than Nick Foles? I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I know last year he did not perform up to standards, but at least he got the victory in come-from-behind fashion against the Falcons. The guy stepped up in some games. He didn't play completely terrible. I mean, he did get hurt in a couple of games at the end of the year. I mean, you can't just throw it on Nick Foles. We don't throw any of the blame in terms of his success on Matt Nagy.
Nick Foles has proven he can't play wherever he is, other than Philadelphia. He's proven this. Why do we expect something different now? You know, is he better than Andy Dalton? I'd rather have Dalton,
yes.
But they're both not good. You know, how about that? I mean, you're sort of picking, okay, you know, the lesser of two evils. You know, they're neither one's very good, but I'll take Dalton, but I don't feel any kind of good about it.
We'll see. When we come back, we'll be talking about some NFC teams right here on the grid. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down the NFL, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on Pro Football Full Circle. George, I was going to take a look at the NFC teams, but there's huge news out of Indianapolis. Starting offensive guard Quentin Nelson to miss 5 to 12 weeks. Guess what? Same injury as Carson Wentz. And if you want to just know about the movement in terms of the book right now, their total on FanDuel under and over is set at 8.5 at minus 120 prior to the injury. With the injury to Wentz, they were still there at 9.5 in terms of plus 130 to the over. Now they're set at 8.5 at minus 120 to the over. To make the playoffs prior to Quentin Nelson, they were actually, yes, at minus 150. Now it's even money, minus 110 either way. This is huge news, not just to the team's success, but actually whether they actually deal for Nick Foles. Because at this point, if you can't protect the quarterback, what are you going to do for the first 5 weeks of the season?
Yeah, this is brutal. Just, and it's the same injury, too. It's like, oh, my. What, did you get your voodoo doll out again? You need to be nice. You know, you keep taking away Colt players here. Listen, I thought Tennessee was the better team anyway. I would have had those numbers reversed, 9.5 for Tennessee, 9 for the Colts. Maybe the best offensive lineman in football, and it's one of their biggest strengths. Listen, he's not going to be out for the season. He could be back in 5-6 weeks. But I also wonder, for an offensive lineman, I wonder if this injury is a little worse for them. They got to put, you know, they weigh more, but they also got to push off all the time, blocking. You know, you got to get your sets in. So I would worry about this quite a bit if he's going to automatically be the higher end of 5 to 12. Not that he's going to be 12, but maybe he's going to be 8. You know, you just take the middle of the number there. This is a brutal injury. I mean, nothing's going right with the Colts right now.
No, it's not. And I was trying to look for a Jonathan Taylor prop bet to see if it was affected. I want to see if FanDuel has it up. They do not as of right now. It was up earlier. Actually, it is. Jonathan Taylor right now, prop bet on FanDuel, 12.75.5 at minus 112. Might want to look to the under there, because you don't have your starting quarterback. You don't have your starting guard.
That's a huge loss, and no matter who you bring in, they're probably going to rely on Taylor, right? But that means teams stacking the box, forcing Indianapolis to beat you over the top. I mean, I might look to the under here at minus 112. 1275 is a huge number, even with the 17th game of the year.
Yeah, not to mention, you bring up two facts that support your conclusion, which I agree with. And we've always got Frank Reich saying, listen, it's not going to be all Taylor all day. They're going to use all their backs here, right? So that would worry me as well. 1275, that's 75 yards a game. That's what it comes out
to. That's a lot.
That's a lot. So I agree with you. That's where I'm going with this. I agree with you. I would take the under here as well.
Shocking that FanDuel actually had it up. I know that I'm trying to see a T.Y. Hilton bet as well, because you would have to think T.Y.'s numbers well over 1,000, right? I like Pittman as to have better upside this year anyway in terms of his second year in the scheme. But still, when you look at T.Y. Hilton, he could be another player affected by this, because without the lack of the running game, without the lack of play action, right? Yeah, teams are going to just flat out, they're going to be one-dimensional maybe. That's going to force double teams on T.Y. Hilton, one of the fastest players on that team. We have to see how this offense looks. Now, if you're Indianapolis right now, what do you want to do? Do you really need the quarterback at this juncture, or do you say, we need that offensive line, we need Quentin Nelson back there, but we need to solidify that, because without the running game with Hines and Taylor, we have nothing at this point.
Yeah, I think you want Nelson back as soon as possible. This is brutal. I'm not going to say his injury hurts more than Wentz, because Wentz is your quarterback and you have nothing behind him, nothing proven behind him. You can maybe get by without Nelson for a game or two. I think right now, if you're the Colts, like I said, that schedule is brutal anyway. Even if you had Wentz, you might be losing against Seattle. You're just hoping to survive now. Survive now until these guys get healthy. I'll say it again. Week one, Seattle at home. Then you got LA at home. All right, then you're on the road. Tennessee, Miami, Baltimore. I think right now, If you would have told the Colts that by week six, when they play Houston, that Wentz and Nelson will be back and you'll be 2-3, I think you take it. I think you take it and run, because I could easily see this being 1-4, 0-5, and your season's on the it's over before you get either one of these guys back. So they're in trouble. I think the bottom line is they're in trouble. They're in a lot of trouble. Because listen, with Eason, Foles, whoever at quarterback, who are they beating? Seattle, L.A., Tennessee, Miami, Baltimore. Who are they beating?
Well, right now, I'll tell you this. They were, prior to the Wentz injury, they were 24-1 to win the Super Bowl. After the Wentz injury, they fell back to 31-1 on FanDuel. They're sitting at 31-1, but I tell you what, without Quentin Nelson in that lineup for an extended period of time, they have no shot. They have no shot. He needs to be 100% healthy. That running game needs to be there. Otherwise, in my opinion, just a one-dimensional offense. You could kiss the season goodbye. We'll see what transpires over the next couple weeks. I want to see what this front office does, whether they address maybe a veteran hard to get into camp to solidify that. We understand it's next man up, but it is the offensive line is built on continuity. It's built on their ability to communicate across the offensive line and understand how each player is moving in unison. So we'll see what transpires for Frank Reich and the crew. The other team I wanted to bring up was Kyle Pitts. He caught a touchdown pass in practice today. Everybody was in amazement. Oh, this is it. Kyle Pitts, he's a 1,000-yard receiver with Matty Ice and the crew. Where do we really feel about this team right now with Arthur Smith? Do we feel that they can legitimately win 6 or 7 games with the lineup that they have entering 2021? Because I got to be honest with you, I'm not buying anything that they're putting out. I think this is a team that's on the downside. I think they're taking steps back as opposed to addressing needs, especially on that defense. When you look at the defense, George, overall, dead last in the NFL, giving up 293 per game. I don't think they get much better in 2021. I'm selling everything for Atlanta this year. Tell me what you thought in terms of that Kyle Pitts touchdown catch today.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I'm right there with you. I think Pitts is a tremendous athlete. I wouldn't have taken him in the number 4 if I was Atlanta. I just wouldn't have done it. I probably would have gone the quarterback to take over for Ryan eventually. That being said, one of the reasons I keep saying I would have taken the quarterback is because you never know when you're going to be that low again to take a quarterback. Well, the Falcons are likely to be that low again next year. All right, they're going to play a lot of high-scoring games, but they don't. Their offense is good. It's not great. Yeah, you lost Julio Jones. Your run game. Well, we'll see what Mike Davis can do with this team.
I like Calvin Mike Ridley. Davis, but he's nothing without the offensive line.
But he's not special anyway. He's not special. You know, he's not Christian McCaffrey who can really carry a team here. But the numbers tell you as far as a tight end, first year in the NFL doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. Now, maybe things will be different for Pitts because this offense is going to have to be built around him. You take him at number four. I'm assuming you're going to build the offense around him. So maybe that'll he'll beat the numbers, what history tells us as far as first-year tight ends. But I don't know if I'm banking on that. And the defense is just deplorable.
How did they set a number on Atlanta at 7.5 juice to the over on FanDuel -130? What are they seeing that we're not? Because I'm seeing a team that's getting older. The defense is terrible. They can't stop anyone. They didn't address that in terms of who they brought in the draft. So when you just look at it as a whole, it's status quo for 2021. Okay, they're going to put up points. We knew they could put up points. But Matty Ice is inconsistent. There's really no threat of a running game. They had Gurley last year. He didn't live up to expectations. Mike Davis, you mentioned a good back, not an elite back. So what do we really have? We have the same team that we had in 2020, yet we're going to set a win total at 7.5 on this team with the extra game?
Well, the schedule's not rough. It's not brutal at all. I can see where it's coming from. They're not better than any of these teams. You start out versus Philadelphia. You can beat Philly. All right, you're not going to beat Tampa in week two. I don't think you're beating Tampa any of the time here. You play the Giants in week three. Once again, it's a winnable game. Not saying you will, but it's winnable. Washington the next week, winnable at home. If you can hold it, their offense isn't working that day. Jets, winnable. Yeah, even Miami's winnable. You're not going to, but it's winnable. They don't play a tough schedule here. Carolina, once again, divisional game.
Well, I think Carolina's the tough one there. I think Carolina's the team that's going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Carolina's a better team. Carolina's a better team, no doubt there. I think they're probably the number two team in the division now. They're not close to competing with Tampa Bay, but they're probably the number two team with all the problems that New Orleans has here. But I keep pointing out the schedule. I'm just going in order here. There are no – oh, that's a loss. They don't have that here other than Tampa Bay. You know, they don't have that here. And you keep looking at it. They play Buffalo in week 17. Okay, that's a loss. Every other game, I could see where they could win. They won't win a majority of them, but I could see where they get over 7.5. I could see if everything works well, they go to 8-9. That being said, I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on this team. I mean, the division on FanDuel right now for the Atlanta Falcons, plus 700. And we know about Tampa Bay, right? We're not even going to talk about them. We know they're clearly head and shoulders above everyone in that division. New Orleans is down. They're plus 330. Carolina, to me, has a shot. Now, not a shot. I think they're going to be a possible 10-7 team. I really do. With Sam Darnold, I'm buying into this team. I like what they have. Obviously, the health of Christian McCaffrey hinges on their success, but that defensive front led by Derek Brown, the former standout at Auburn, they are going to be vicious. You add J.C. Horn. At plus 1,000, I might take a flyer on them. You know, I like them as a playoff team, but you never know. Injuries happen. We can't say that Tampa Bay is just all of a sudden going to roll to a 14-3 season. It looks that way on paper, but you never know. At plus 1,000, they're the most appealing bet outside of the Buccaneers when you just look at it, right? I mean, would you feel confident at plus 700 for the Atlanta Falcons to steal this, even though you say they could get over 7.5?
You can make Atlanta plus 7 million. I'm not taking it. All right, they're not winning that division. This is not a good team. Listen, Carolina's not winning it either. What are we? We're all going to bank on an injury to Tom Brady? And Tampa Bay's a team, by the way. If Brady went down and was before the trade deadline, they would give up the farm to get another quarterback in there because they, you know, their window is now, so they're going to go for it. So, no. Then Carolina, I think, is the up-and-coming team. It wouldn't shock me at all if they finished second and they get a wild card. That wouldn't surprise me either. But they're not ready yet to compete with Tampa Bay. They're not. It's not even really close.
No, we'll see. I think offense, they have some question marks, right? What does that offense
look like?
Question
marks on defense, too.
I think the defense in year two is going to surprise. That's where I think the defense is going to be considerably better because Matt Rhule is a defensive-minded head coach. They're going to, from a scheme perspective, be a lot more disciplined. He weeded out the players that fit the scheme, the ones that didn't fit the scheme last year. He had Teddy Bridgewater. It wasn't the right fit for Joe Brady in that offense. Sam Darnold is. You add Christian McCaffrey, that's healthy. This team, I think, is going to be lethal. I really do. And here's the other factor as well. Plus 270 to make the playoffs. That's got some bite to it, in my opinion. Plus 270 is appealing to me. You're almost getting 3-1 with that. And they add a big play wide receiver from LSU in Terrace Marshall that, from just a size perspective, 6'3", 220 pounds, could be the next great LSU wide receiver. If he steps up like Justin Jefferson did last year, look out, baby. Arizona could be explosive.
I like your thinking there, and their beginning schedule. Take advantage of it. Jets, Saints without Michael Thomas. Houston, Dallas, Philadelphia. That first five games, they can go 4-1. 3-2 may be the worst they do.
We'll come back and wrap it up, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up the show today, great talk about Matty Ice, the Atlanta Falcons, some Indianapolis talk. Well, we ended last segment talking about Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers. Let's look at the week one spread for Carolina going up against the New York Jets. Interesting development. You have Sam Darnold going up against his former team. Zach Wilson making his first career start. Carolina, a four-point favorite on FanDuel, minus 106. I can't bet this enough, George. This is one of my favorite games of week number one. Matt Rhule, all off-season to prepare for Zach Wilson. I'm betting the Panthers all day long in week number one against your Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to hop on with you here. And they're not my New York Jets, by the way. They don't even practice on Long Island anymore. At least when they did that at Hofstra, it was somewhat. I used to go to those a couple of times. Those were kind of interesting back when I lived in Nassau County. No, but I'm with you here. I think the Panthers roll pretty good here. The Jets, once again, I think they're heading in the right direction, but I think it's going to be another trying season for them. To me, it's 5-12, maybe worse.
We talked about the totals. Now, this total is interesting in the sense of 43.5 seems a little bit light, doesn't it? I mean, 43.5 is basically 24-20 week one. We've seen some totals in the 50s, 51.5. We saw Arizona and Tennessee 52, close to that. I mean, 43.5 is light. I like the Carolina defense. I like Horn. I think they'll be much better. Do you believe in Zach Wilson to give you any points to get this total on the road?
That's the problem. I mean, it does 24-20, it will get you 44, but I can easily see this being, you wouldn't even want to give Carolina more. 27-10 wouldn't shock me. 27-13, I don't know what Zach Wilson's going to do. Nobody does. He just got out of the camp. Someone I'll watch during the preseason, see if he looks any kind of good, but I'm certainly not betting the over. I don't care what I see. I would certainly still lean towards the under.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this is an intriguing game. A lot of action, in my opinion, FanDuel will be taking. We're here all week breaking down the NFL training camps with George Kurtz. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.